Hello and welcome for our computer graphics lecture. So we are right now in the process of trying to understanding perspective. So what I told you last time, so okay, let's start the other way around maybe. Perspective means we have a world in 3D and now we want to transform this into a 2D image. And yeah, typical effects now occur. For instance, objects further away get smaller on the image and stuff like that. And we are looking into this process. How can we project the three-dimensional world into our 2D, onto our 2D image? And in fact, there are two different, they're not fundamentally different. In fact, they are the same in homogeneous space. But two different ways to do such a projection that are also used in practice. There are many more, by the way. Yeah. These are the ones we will look at. And this is orthographic and perspective projection. And orthographic just means that we take the three-dimensional world and project it onto our image by a parallel projection. This gives us images like this. And it has the property that parallel lines always remain parallel. And you might remember that this means it's an affine mapping. And the alternative is what is a real perspective projection. That's an image like a camera generates it, or like the eye generates it, the human eye. And that's a perspective projection, and that's a projection where objects are projected onto the image plane using point projection or central projection. Yeah? So every point here is projected onto this plane by generating a line through the eye and the point, and where it intersects the image plane, that's the point where this, where it's projected to. And yeah, as I said, these two are in fact the same. So if I take this point and put it to infinity and move it towards infinity, then you get a parallel projection. Yeah, so it's not fundamentally something different. It is very similar. Okay, and both of these projections define what we call a view volume. So the view volume contains all points in our world that are projected onto the image. Yeah? So for the orthographic projection, this is a box. In fact, this back face here can also, there might also be no such back face, so that this box is open towards the end. And for a perspective projection, it's such a pyramid, such a truncated pyramid, which also might have a backplane or not. Yeah? Typically, we will have such a backplane, which is just so far away that it doesn't hurt. Okay, and now the step, or what happens, or what will happen in our pipeline, is that in fact we do not project this three-dimensional view volume, or this three-dimensional view volume, directly to the image, because that would mean that we lose depth information. Yeah, so there might be, or it will happen, that there are two points in this box here that map to the same point, but we still want to know which one was further away in order to be able to compute occlusion. Yeah, so in fact we do not really make a projection from 3D to 2D, but we make a projection where we also keep this depth information. So we map, what we will do is that we map these view volumes to, again, another volumetric object, and we will take the most simple one that we can think of, and that's just a simple box, a box with unit length. Yeah, and this one we will call the canonical view volume. We will also see that in a minute. And yeah, so the process will look like this. We have this view frustum, or this view volume of the perspective mapping, and this is mapped to the unit cube, which has the origin in the center and goes from -1 to 1. And this is what we call canonical view volume. And in this canonical view volume, x and y are just the image coordinates, yeah, that's these 2D coordinates. And we have, and z is a depth value. And for this box, that's very simple. yeah, because that's affine. And for this pyramid here, it's more complicated. Yeah, because now we have to do something non-uniform. If we want to squeeze this into here, we have to do more. Okay, so this is this important step here. Sorry. Okay, so this is the important step here, yeah? And we will look at this now a little bit or a little bit closer. But nevertheless, I want to mention that there is another step after this, and that's now here we have image coordinates which are between minus 1 and 1. They still have to be mapped on the screen somehow. That's a very simple mapping, but it's also important to look at that, and that's the viewport mapping. So that's the final step. Yeah, so that's our pipeline. And now we will have a little bit closer look. That's again the canonical view volume, what I showed here. So it's the cube going from minus 1, minus 1, minus 1 to 1, 1, 1. That's very simple. And both view volumes, they are first mapped to this volume, and from there on, or this is the space in which we, for instance, do the rasterization also and stuff like that. Yeah? And it still has depth, because we will need that depth for occlusion computations. And x and y are the screen coordinates, as they will end up on the screen, and z is the depth. Okay, and yeah, now the core, as I said, is this mapping from here to here. For the orthographic projection, that's very simple. It's just affine squeezing and stuff like that. And for the perspective projection, it will be more interesting. And we will see that interesting things are going on here. Weird things happen, for instance, with objects behind the camera and stuff like that under that mapping. We will see that. The nice thing is that this mapping can simply be expressed by a matrix with homogeneous coordinates. Yeah? So in homogeneous coordinates, it's just a matrix multiplication. Okay, so here again, now a little overview of the single steps and the coordinate systems, because that's also interesting to describe these coordinates. So we start by objects in world space. Yeah, then we apply this viewing that transforms everything to camera space. Yeah, so this defines where is my camera and in which direction am I looking. And then we have this projection, this is this here, from here to here. After that, we are in the canonical view volume, and then we only need a viewport transformation to transform this to the right position on screen space. Yeah, so this maps our image now to the window on the screen. Okay, the viewport transformation, it's very, very simple, just to be complete. So let's assume we have a screen of size nx by ny. Oh, that should be a subscript. I already told you, you have to define where are the pixel centers. So one possible way is to say then our image goes from minus 0.5 to nx minus 0.5 and the same in y. So we just have to scale our x and y values from the cube to this range for the view mapping. Yeah. That's the matrix. So we have an offset that's half the screen size as an offset, and then a corresponding scaling. Yeah, so that this range from minus 1 to 1 is mapped to the range from 0 to nx. Okay, so that's quite simple. Yeah, just scale and add. Good. Now the orthographic projection. Yeah. So now we go back to this scenario. We have a box view volume somewhere in our world, and this describes our orthographic projection. Now we have we have to define this view volume. Yeah, we have to define the extent. Just go back to that image. We have to define how that view volume looks like. Yeah? So one possible definition would be to say, okay, the origin is always in the center of this one side here. So we only have to define how high is it, how wide is it, and how deep is it. Yeah, that would be one option. In fact, typically one is more flexible. We can define any view volume which is an axis-aligned box. That's the typical way how this is done. And this axis-aligned box just is then defined by x-min, x-max, y-min, y-max, and so on, or called left, right, bottom, top, near, and far. Yeah? So L is the left plane, B is the position of the bottom plane, and so on. Yeah? So these are just the parameters defining the extent of our box. And now we have to move this to here to the unit cube. And okay, so that's one point. Another point is, so we can position it arbitrary, but the meaning of the axis, x, y, and z, is usually fixed, or is fixed. And it's fixed in a way that x and y should be parallel to the normal screen axis as you are used to. So if you normally draw a coordinate system, it will always look like that. X goes to the right, y goes upwards. So again, I should have copied that image maybe. So that means this is the image plane here, this front plane. Yeah. This goes to the wrong direction. It should have been drawn into this direction. Yeah. X should show to the right because we look at this from here, from this side, from the right. So x should point into this direction, y into this. And yeah, now it's a kind of standard convention, or more often right-handed coordinate systems are used in 3D. That means if your thumb is x and this finger is y, then the middle finger points in z direction if you take the right hand. Yeah, for the left hand, it would be exactly the other way around. Okay, so if x points to the right and y to the top, then z points towards the viewer. So that means the z axis has to point into this direction, which is a bit counterintuitive. Yeah? That means you always look into negative z direction. That's just to enforce a right-handed coordinate system. Okay, good. This also means that you carefully have to look at how near and far are defined, because if you really take it in that coordinate system, they are negative values. Yeah, some libraries, or most libraries, expect nevertheless that near and far, that the absolute value is given. That's sometimes a bit confusing. Okay, now that's the situation then. Yeah, we have x, y, and z. And again, okay, now that's here the handedness is correct, yeah? Now in that example, we're looking from the left, x points then to the right, y to the top, z is the negative view direction, and then our orthographic projection is defined by that view volume here, which is defined by right, top, front, left, bottom, near, and we only have to map this to our canonical view volume. Yeah, that's very simple. It's precisely this, or almost the same as the viewport transformation, just scale and offset with a right values, and then we get this mapping. Here this mapping is separated into two. First a translation, and then a scaling. So this translation moves the origin into the center of that of our orthographic view volume. And then the scaling scales it to the right size. Yeah? And yeah, that's the matrix that is to be used to map this box into the unit cube, into the canonical view volume. Okay, so that's simple. And of course, we can Now we can multiply together these two matrices. That's very simple in that case because, yeah, they're not interfering. Yeah, it's just moving this translation to here, and we immediately get, it's a bit more complicated, sorry, because you see these values change when moving from here to here, and that's also, they are interfering, sorry for that. So if you multiply these together, you realize that these values here change from here to here, so that's the matrix, the one matrix that is needed. Yeah? And just to test again, if we apply this vector, we get this here. And with some practice, one can see that this really does the right mapping. Okay. Good. And of course, what we can also now do is that we also apply the viewport transformation. Yeah. So that's the matrix we just looked at. Now we can also apply the viewport transformation. Remember that new matrices, we always have to apply at the left. Yeah? So matrices are performed from right to left. So the last transformation, the viewport transformation, can also be multiplied. And this would again give a matrix that does the complete mapping from world space directly to pixel coordinates. Yeah? So you see, we can multiply together all these matrices, and we can really have one single matrix doing all the transformations together. Okay. So if we have now this matrix all multiplied together, yeah, the pixel coordinates can directly be derived by a single matrix transform. And here we have the one nice thing, we directly get pixel coordinates, and this set value is now a depth value which is between -1 and 1. It does not describe the original depth, it does not really tell us how far an object is away from the camera, but it gives a kind of normalized depth value, and that says the closest points are here around -1 and the furthest are around 1. Yeah? And yeah, this is also here. Here can also see the reason why we need a backplane for the orthographic projection, because otherwise, if we go to infinity, we cannot make an affine mapping that maps this entire range to this finite interval. Okay, yeah, and that set value is also important, and it's used for depth tests. It does not directly tell us depth, but at least the order is still correct. That's important. Yeah? So that objects, if one object is in front of the other, it should occlude the other. So order should not change, and that's fine. And yeah, now a very, very simple application, what we could do with that. So let's assume we want to render a set of line segments. They are all defined by two points, AI and BI. These are points in world space, in world coordinates. And to render these, yeah, now we apply this matrix to AI and to BI. This gives us new points. And yeah, then we simply draw these points. Yeah, or we connect the line between these points. Now this is Bresenham as we used it. Yeah. So X and Y are really pixel coordinates. These were world space coordinates, and then they go all through all these coordinate systems and end up in pixel space. And in pixel space, we do this rendering. And here we do not use the set component, yeah, because just for drawing lines, set is not important. But for other algorithms, we could also use set of these coordinates here. Okay. Yeah. So up to now, we saw a first example how to use that matrix machinery, yeah, how to express the different mappings all using matrices, multiplying all these together, so that in the end, ideally, we only have one single matrix, and this contains everything. Yeah, and we don't have to worry where this comes from. That's a separate step, setting up these matrices, and during rendering, we just push all the points through this matrix, yeah, wherever it came from. Okay, good. But that was only the simplest case of an orthographic projection. Now the other case is the perspective projection going from here to here, yeah, where really perspective is generated. I will postpone this a little bit. It's probably the most interesting part. But we will first look at the viewing transformations because they are affine. Yeah, so we are more used to that and can first think about that. And the viewing transformation now is the transformation that transforms everything into camera space. So that means we have our camera, our virtual camera in our scene is defined by a position and by a view direction. Yeah? And now we want to find a mapping that maps everything to a coordinate system that is relative to this camera. So that coordinate system should have the origin in the eye. Yeah, as I said, x should point to the right, y to the top, and z should be the negative u direction. Yeah? So that's our camera coordinate system. And now we have a world coordinate system and our camera coordinate system, and we somehow have to transform between these two. I mean, we learned a lot about this type of transformation. It's a rigid transformation. And the main problem is that it usually should be defined in a for a user accessible way or easy understandable way. And the way to define this mapping is to define three vectors, or more precisely, one position and two vectors. The first one is the position of the eye or the camera. That's the new origin. Yeah, and then we have to define the orientation. And for defining the orientation, the first important information is the gaze direction or the view direction. Yeah? I say, okay, I stand here, I look into this direction. So that's the new z-axis of our new coordinate system. But that's not yet enough. Yeah? So I know the origin, I know my z-vector, but I still can rotate around the z-vector. Yeah? And you can imagine that with a normal camera, if you just define the view position and the view direction, you can still rotate your camera. Yeah? And maybe that's a bit of kind of subtle degree of freedom that you have, because normally you don't really think about that. You just try to hold your camera such that the horizon is really horizontal. Yeah? That's why horizontal is called horizontal, because the horizon typically is horizontal in an image. So you furthermore have to define how your horizon should look like. And this is, in computer graphics, we do not really define the horizon, but instead we define a view up vector. And this is a vector in 3D space, and this vector in the image should point upwards. Yeah? So in 3D space, we just take a vector, and we say, okay, the camera should be rotated such that this vector points upwards. And yeah, this is the what we call view up vector. And yeah, this accounts for a typical issue in computer graphics. If you download scenes, for instance, from the web, models, some are modeled in a way that the y-axis points upwards, and others are modeled in a way that the z-axis points upwards. Yeah, I would say it's a kind of 50-50 chance that you have one of the two. So there's no standard or common notion what is up. And yeah, with this view up vector, typically, yeah, for a scene where z points upwards, you would provide the z vector, and if y points upwards, you would provide the y vector. Yeah? And of course, you can define any other vector. So if you're implementing a flight simulator, for instance, you will definitely want that the horizon also moves, yeah, that it rotates. That will happen frequently. And then you will also change the up vector and use different values. OK, so here again we see that setup now with a bit more, even more vectors. So E is our camera, yeah. So that's where we are. G is the view direction, the gaze direction. And I said this fixes our set axis, but because the set axis is typically in the negative view direction to get right-handedness, yeah, W is just the negative gaze direction. So U, V, W are is the coordinate frame of our new coordinate system. So W is just the negated normalized gaze direction. So that's simple. And now U and V, we can still rotate around W. Yeah, and now we use this up vector to fix this. Yeah, and now this up vector, as you see, is not necessarily the same as V. The reason is simple. So let's say our up vector is really here the gravity vector, yeah, in the setup. So if I'm looking perpendicular to that, yeah, I could use this directly as V here. But if I'm looking downwards a bit, yeah, then these vectors are not perpendicular anymore. But instead, I would have to rotate this a little bit so that in the image it still points upwards, yeah, but it's also perpendicular to my view direction. So V, or this new vector V, should be in the plane that is spawned by W and by T. Yeah, it should be in the same plane, but it should also be perpendicular to W. And to construct that, the easiest way is as follows. We don't start with constructing V, but instead we construct U, because U should be perpendicular to W. Yeah, because it should be a new orthonormal coordinate system. And it should also be perpendicular to V, but we don't know V yet, but we know that V is in the plane spawned by W and T, so we can say U is also perpendicular to T. It must be perpendicular to T. Yeah, so we first compute U as the vector perpendicular to W and T, and that's simply by the cross product. Yeah, so we say U is perpendicular to this and to this. This gives us U, and then V is fixed, because V now must be the cross product of V and U, of W and U. Okay, yeah, long explanation and quite simple formula that come out here. Yeah, so that's the way. We know a camera, we know the gaze direction, we know the up vector, and from this we can compute U, V, and W. And if we have these, we can immediately generate the matrices. And we can immediately generate these matrices, yeah, but just by writing them into our matrix, these vectors. Okay. Okay, sorry. So that slide here is wrong at that place, because that's the matrix that we want now. Sorry. Okay, yeah, so that's the matrix. We compute U, V, and W, and put it into a matrix. And this here is the translation to the I point. And again, we can multiply these together to generate a view matrix. Yeah? Okay, so now we can a little bit extend our program that we had before. So here we compute, this is the matrix, you know, it's the orthogonal mapping. Now we also add a matrix for viewing. Yeah, so that means here we can now also define a camera and a view direction and an up vector. This gives us this matrix, then this is the projection, the orthographic projection. We just multiply them together, and from here on, it's exactly the same as before. Yeah? Again, we have one single matrix. We move all these through the matrices and just render. Okay, now lots of subscripts got lost. Sorry for that. Okay, so now we included viewing. Yeah, that viewing part is not complicated. And now we have a first complete version of that pipeline, of the different transformations of our pipeline. Yeah, just an overview again. What we were just looking at was this viewing transformation. Yeah, this is the projection, this orthographic projection that maps from the view volume to the unit canonical view volume. This is the viewport transformation that maps this to the screen. And here on top, we have the modeling transformation that positions our objects in space. That's the very first that happens. So first we go from object coordinates to world coordinates, to camera coordinates, then to normalized coordinates. That's how we call the coordinate system in the canonical view volume. And from there to screen coordinates. Okay, now we saw all these. And here for the projection, I told you this is the probably most interesting one. And we only had that very simple version of the orthonormal projection. But much more interesting is the perspective projection. So how can we transform this perspective view volume to a unit cube? And again, you maybe remember the Dürer illustration, yeah, with a hook at the wall. Here is another illustration that shows exactly the same, yeah, how this process would work. So imagine you want to draw this object. Now you can imagine in front of you a picture plane or an image plane. And now all objects are projected towards the eye, and the intersections with the image plane give you the desired shape. Yeah, that's what we want to construct. So we want to construct these 2D image points, but we also want to keep a notion of depth. We also want to have a way that after this mapping from here to here, we also still know depth, or at least have information which object is in front of which. Now, others also observed this. So yeah, this one you know, this one is also very nice. But it's exactly the same. And okay, now we can try to formalize this a little bit more. I mean, I always was very vague about that up to now. So this mapping is quite simple to describe mathematically. Yeah. So, now one problem is that it's a 3D problem, but we only have two dimensions for drawing. But nevertheless, I mean, it's independent for both coordinate axes. Yeah, so we can simply reduce or look at the 2D problem and get the 3D solution. So in 2D, the situation is we have a camera here. We have a point somewhere in space and a view plane here. Yeah. Now, if we look at that situation, we can simply apply the rules of similar triangles, and we can, for instance, say that this distance, yeah, that's the coordinate of the projection on the view plane, ys over d over the distance to the view plane equals y over z. Yeah? And from this, we can directly derive ys. So ys is d over z times y. Yeah, and here you see d is a parameter of the camera. Yeah, it defines how far is the view plane away. So please excuse me, it's very annoying and difficult for me if somebody is speaking in the background. Sorry. I'm sorry for that, but it's really difficult. Okay. So, so that's quite simple. Yeah, d is just the parameter of the camera. Yeah, that's kind of distance of the film to the eye. So it we will see it doesn't have a big meaning. And these are coordinates of the point. Yeah, that's the point that we want to map. And the interesting thing now is you see that the new position is computed by division. Yeah, that's a bit a tricky operation, but maybe you remember that in our matrix machinery, we have homogeneous coordinates. And in the end of the homogeneous coordinates, there is a division. Yeah? So when going back from homogeneous coordinates to 3D, we do this dehomogenization, and at that step, we do a division. And in fact, this division will be applied to achieve this here. Yeah? Okay. So this mapping from Y set to this new point is quite simple. Yeah? That's easy to describe. But that's at that step, again, depth is not maintained. What we really want is the following setup. Here we have our view frustum of the perspective mapping. Yeah? That's the view volume. Now again, we define a near and a far plane. Yeah, that's like in the orthographic view volume. We have a front plane. This is where the camera is typically situated, and a back plane. Now we need a near plane, which is a bit in front of the camera, and a far plane. These two planes we only need for mathematical reasons. Yeah, that's a plane that no normal standard camera you can buy has as a parameter. Yeah, it doesn't have a near and a far plane. This is something that we will have to define to be able to define our mapping. And we will see later on what influences these values have. But now that we have this frustum, this truncated pyramid, we can map this to a box. Yeah? And from this box, we can map it to the unit cube like we know it, from the orthographic projection. Yeah? So we could also go directly the way from here to here, but from here to here is maybe a little bit more intuitive. And from here to here, we already have a solution. So yeah, we can map this here to our orthographic view volume, and from then on continue like with the orthographic view. Okay, yeah. So how do we get from here to here? And the advantage now, just to bring that back, yeah, is the following. Once we did that mapping, so that's this point, yeah? These points in here are projected onto the image plane like this, yeah? And what we do now is that we map this to this box, yeah? So this point will end up somewhere here, and this here. And now all these rays that converge here will become parallel rays. Yeah? So that this point is projected onto the image here just by, so if this is x, y, z, then its image coordinates are simply x and y, and z defines how far it's away from the camera, or at least relative, because from here to here, set values will change. Yeah. So this mapping here is a mapping that maintains depth, or we don't lose depth information. Okay. And yeah. Now we somehow have to define or find out a mapping from this setup to this setup, yeah, where this back plane, for instance, is shrunk so that it contains this, yeah, or that it will look like this. Now we can try to derive this. These are the corresponding formula. And yeah, if I look at the clock, I think, we should probably move this to Tuesday and close a look at this on Tuesday. The core, maybe I can already say so, is that this division that we want to achieve by set is simply done by moving set to the last homogeneous coordinate, and yeah, then during the dehomogenization we achieve a division by that value. Okay, but I think we will do that next Tuesday. In fact, I will not be here on Tuesday, but instead Henry Schäfer will give the lecture for me, and I'm pretty sure that he will do a very good job, and then I will be back on next Thursday. Okay, so see you in a week, but be here on Tuesday. Thank you.